expresses himself that we were exiled to Babel, we put aside, we put away our musical instruments. But the Pasuk doesn't merely say we put aside our musical instruments. The Pasuk says, Al Aravim Besoicha, which means that on the willows, Aravim, the Aravos, Al Aravim Besoicha, by the willows we hung our harps. And again, Lamai Napkimin, where we hung them, Al Aravim Besoicha, among the willows that were growing over there, that is the place that we hung our harps, we stashed away, we were gaining our musical instruments. And we have to understand again, what is the emphasis of Al Aravim? Why mention the places in Anafkimina where they put away the musical instruments? Furthermore, we find finally, the Goyim try to insist that the Eden, in spite of their gullus, that they sing. It's one thing when Goyim try to torture Yidden. But what is even worse is when they want to make you dance and sing and try to enjoy it. Instead of allowing you the privilege of crying out in pain, they want to deny even that. They don't want to allow the Yid at least to be able to suffer his pain with dignity in the way that a person would normally suffer. But rather, the Pasuk says there, Kishom she'elunu she'oyveinu, our captors requested from us. Divrei shir, that we should sing. And David HaMelech, rightfully so, responds immediately, Eich noshir eshir Hashem, how do you expect us to sing? How can a Yid sing? Eich noshir eshir Hashem alad mas necho. And we try to understand maybe a little bit more b'derech ha'teva. We try to understand what the purpose was. Eich noshir eshir Hashem, of course, how is it possible even to ask someone to be able to sing? And what type of meaning, what would it mean if you forced them to try to sing? If you forced them to try to sing, what meaning would it really have? What would it really mean altogether? The emphasis is, when we think about Golus, we are now in the Yemei of the Bein HaMetzorim. We are now in the days of the conclusion of the 3 weeks. These are the days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspired Chazal to be misakin, days of mourning for the fact that we're exiled, Golinu me'arteinu, mitzrachaknu me'alad moseinu. And now we are at Tisha B'Av, which is the culmination of those weeks. If we think back the way Tisha B'Av and the whole experience of the 3 weeks, how it took place among Eloch Yidin, even Pshutim Shabbam, even simple Yidin, we're not talking Davki G'doyli Yisrael, but even Pshutim Shabbam, customarily many, many Kehillahs, in Ashkenaz Kehillahs, that they would be Mekoinin every day, Tikkun Chatzos was something that was said regularly, specifically in the 3 weeks. In many, many places it was said Barabim, Tikkun Chatzos. Yeshiva in my days, they said Tikkun Chatzos throughout the 3 weeks. I remember one of the Magid Ishir, who became a Magid Ishir after he left Yeshiva Chassan Sofer, Rav Moshe Bigzatal. It was not his custom to say Tikkun Chatzos where he came from during the 3 weeks. Not to say Barabim or Kolponim, but he was there at the time, he was a Magid Ishir. And being that the yeshiva said, this was the Minigai yeshiva, it was 12:30 noon, Chatzos, we'd say Tikkun Chatzos, the whole Olam would get down on the floor, we'd say Tikkun Chatzos, and he himself was not Mishana, was not Pleirish Vinat Sibur, and he sat down throughout the entire 3 weeks, and would say Tikkun Chatzos with Bechiyos together with the Tzibur. This is the way it was, and even in those places that did not have that Minig, that does not, many of us don't, have the meaning of saying Tikkun Chatzos befreshet, but that does not mean that the Hagosh of Avelis by those Yidden were any less. It was just not customary to express it befreshet. But nevertheless, the Avelis was belayed, and their hearts were filled with sar on Churban Beis HaMikdash. To the point, we can appreciate that, but one of the rare minhagim, mostly unknown, there were mekaymis, if one can believe it or not, mamish, that the tzar during the Amiris Hakinus of Tisha B'Av was to such an extent that there was a custom in mekaymis that they would throw items, zorkim ze lo ze, particular items would be thrown one to the other, pushing in order to lift the spirits. Because the tsar was so great that they needed something a little bit to lift the spirits of the oyam, sort of a slight distraction. They'd be throwing things. Today we have cell phones, so this does this job anyway. But this was the idea, this was the in that we felt, the death of the tsar. The Noide Behuda, the great Noide Behuda. And I think it's Kedai that the Yoyim at least hears it once, just about what we know about the great Noide Behuda. Of course, the Godel Hador, the Poisek Hador of all time, respected worldwide. Noide Behuda, of course, who lived in the 1700s, was the chief rabbi of Prague, recognized the Godel Hador, Chuvis, and Shilas coming from all over the world to him. In addition to being a Rosh Yeshiva, in addition to being the Meshiv Hador of his time, tremendous, tremendous tzitkis of the Noide Behuda. Some of it which is not known. And Skedai that, to quote just a few lines, at the end of the Chuvis Noide Behuda Chelik Beis, the Behuda had a very Choshev Talmud among many. One of them was one of the Choshev Dayonim in Prague. His name was Reb Lezer Fleckles. Reb Lezer Fleckles was the Mechaber of Yishayelus Chuvis, Chuve Me'ahava. He was the Mechaber of a Sefer called Chuve Me'ahava, and Reb Lezer Fleckles bemoaned and could not come to himself when the Yehuda was Nifter on Chai Ir, on the 18th day of Chodesh Ir, Shnas Tov Kuf Nun Gimel, which is 1793. It was the day of the Petir of the Noide Behuda. And Reb Lezer Fleckles said a few words at the Beis HaChaim and the Beis HaKvaris. This is the newer Beis HaChaim in Prague. Prague has two Batei Chaim. One is the ancient one, the Beis HaChaim Ayoshon. That is the one which, of course, goes down in tradition of tremendous Gedoyli soil. That is the caver where the Maral's Matev is still stands to this day. And all the Gedoyli Oilom who served with distinction in the bonus of Prague. You know, the Baal Nishal David, Reb David Oppenheim, and all the great Gedolei Yisrael who served in Prague. The Intanayvishis himself was the Reish HaDarshonim in Prague. And it was the Fleckles in the newer Beis HaChaim, because the government had closed down the old Beis HaChaim. They put a Merkadish, a new Beis HaChaim, and that is the place where the Reb Yehuda is buried and his wife is buried there. Reb Yehuda Gaburcha left the Tzavor, that his own matzeva should be very, very small. This is his tzvot. And he wrote it should not cost more than 18, he says, grush or something there. It's a very, very small amount of money. But he insisted when his Rebbetzin passed away that she gets a very, very tall matzeva. Rebbetzin's name was Liebe. And a Buddha writes in one of his shuvis, he lost his Rebbetzin while he was still alive. She was nifter first. And Shilas still kept coming from all over. And he writes, he says, I'm a broken man and broken spirit for the time and the availus of my Rebbetzin. And he says, I cannot come to myself to be able to be my ayin properly, to be able to answer the Shilas in accordance with the way that I'm used to. So writes the Noide Behuda. So writes over here of Lezer Fleckles, he writes, Mila de Meriri, he says, some of the bitter words, Ashikorosi lemispeit mar, Yoim Hashoya, he calls it. Eretz Choshech Kiso. The world was covered with darkness. B'dimosi aretz amse. I went to my bed with tears. B'dimoy sholish. B'yom shlishi, he says, it was a Tuesday. Yudches yomim, the 18th day of Chodesh Ziv, which is Chodesh year. Pono zivenu, pono hoidenu. We lost our glory. We lost our hoid. We lost our beauty. Pono hodrenu, ki nukach mitono yishchai rapolim, kvoid rabbeinu, hagodl rabon shukol Yisrael. Moreno Reb Yecheskel, Nesi Halavim, Noide Behuda with the Levi. Nishmosoi beginzei meroim and beganein and elyoin. Ab bezn v'ram v'kiloseinu. Al machaber shal tishuvis Noide Behuda. Hein advarim, he says, these are the words, Hashemarti liftei mitosoi bebeis akvoris v'merurus, which I said in the Beis HaKvaris. What's negay to us is this line. He writes, I was a Talmud for 10 years. I was a Talmud of the Noide Behuda for 10 years. He writes, "Ki ani yotzakti mayim al yodoi k'moy eser shonim." Says, "I know." He says, "Ki harbe betaneisim vehirbo besigufim me'oid." that Rabbi Yehuda Bechlal, his style was to fast and to fast a lot. Not talking about Tisha B'Av now. In general, throughout the entire year, Rabbi Yehuda's derech avodas Hashem was to pimar b'betanei sigul. It's not a derech for everybody. But Rabbi Yehuda, he took upon himself this way. And Agaburcha, there's a Gemara in the Sakhdis Tainis with the Gemara. The Pashtis rejects a practice of a Talmud Chacham fasting a lot because it's mevatel him from his avodas Hashem, from his learning and davening. To the extent that the Gemara says in Tainis the following lashon: Hi Turim Rabbanan the Yosef B'Tanisa Talmud Chacham who sits and fasts. Lechel kalibul l'sheirusei. Let a dog come and eat up the little bit of food that he has left. Chazal throw in a shtikel klola to him. Chazal want to get a person to understand this is not a good practice. A person should separate himself from this. So Chazal say, a Talmud Chacham who sits b'tainis, lechel kalibul, let a dog come and eat up his shirayim. Comes the Chuvis Ksav Sofer, and the Ksav Sofer says, you know this is the Lashon of the Gemara. Hi, Tzur Merabonin, the Yosef B'Tanisa. Was it asking if he's sitting or standing? The Ksav Sofer, you know when it's an Avla? If the fasting is, he's a Yosef B'Tanisa, he is sitting. Sitting means he's a Yosef Botel. Because of his fasting, it took away, it's Mevatelim from his Avodas Hashem. He does not have the Moyach to be able to concentrate and to be able to serve Hashem as he normally would do. But another person, who does not stare, with the Tanaitim do not stare for Zavodis Hashem, we find many, many Gedolim Yisrael that in fact their derech and Zavodis Hashem was to be Margit B'Segufi and the Tanaitim. This was the derech of the Nodi Buda. Mishiv also B'Tamiz Abish Chodeshov writes Reb Lezer Fleckles, the Nodi Buda's custom, the 3 weeks. 3 weeks. We stop eating meat, I guess, from the 9 days. The Nodi Buda, forget about meat. Mishiv also b'tamas ad rish chodesh ov loy ochal dover menachai. Did not eat anything dover menachai. Forget about meat, fish, anything dover menachai. He did not eat the dover menachai. Mishiv also b'tamas ad rish chodesh ov. Mirish chodesh ov at tisha b'av. And what about the 9 days? Stopping eating meat. Stopping eating fish. Loy ochal, he didn't eat anything. Rak lechem yovesh upizar efer al halechem. Did not eat anything. Bread and ashes. This is an Agudas custom throughout the entire 9 days. And this hanhogi he kept until his old age. V'kach nohag ad shehigi al yimei hazikna. This is his practice throughout his life. And what about the rest of the year? What else did he do in expression of Churban Beis Hamikdash? Ma'oilam loy ovar olam chatzos lailo bishino. Never, he says, did Chatzos Lailo. He never slept Chatzos Lailo. At somuch lezuknosoi shloihoyim mekoinen b'chatzi alaylo al churban beis alakeinu v'agolus hashchina kibiyotu. Every night, Rabbi Yehuda, thinking Chatzos, this was his hanhoge. Bo'olam lo'yovar olav Chatzos Lailo b'shino. Churban beis alakeinu. And how do you think what he did by day? A person who, throughout the night, he was up, he was mekoinen. What was Hanhogi during the day? In addition to being the Meshiv Hador, he says, Arbo Trokim B'chol Yoyim Kova Lilmoid Im Talmidim. He gave shir 4 times a day. 4 times a day he gave shir. Arbo Trokim B'chol Yoyim Kova Lilmoid. That's, by the way, with Tanesim and Segufim. Let's remember that. A person who is knowing his life with Tanesim and Segufim. 4 times a day he gave shir. He said, now, 4 shirim, you know how he did it. The Eila, he said, Mesechta Zu. With one group, he gave a shir on one Mesechta. The Eila, Mesechta Acheret. And for another, he gave a different Mesechta. The Eila, Shulchan Aruch Zeh. And the Eila, Shulchan Aruch Acher. On 4 totally different Mesechtas or topics in Shulchan Aruch, the Nebuchadnezzar is able to give shir on a daily basis. And he says, Oy lonu godol kayom shivareinu. He said, "Mekuyim bonu mikra akosi v'shavarti is goin uschem." We lost the goin, the power of our strength, that the power of Torah depends on. And then he says further. He said, "Miiten reishenu mayim." Halavai should be able to cry appropriately. Mayim sheinu em soif. Beinenu mekoyin. He says, "Nosim leilois kayomim alchur ben hagogu." We lost our house of glory. And then he says the following. Even if he says you find a godel like the Neufude in one aspect, he said by the hesped that he gave in shul with the klaus shul. In Prague there are a number of old shuls still standing today. Not all used. Some have become museums. The Altmai shul, which is the famous shul which people use and which is being davened in, there's also a bismetish called the klaus shul. To this day, the Lezer Chleklis gave a hesped in the klaus shul. And there he says, I pointed out, that when the Yehuda passed away, he took with him the Kovar HaTorah. He says, there's no one that can compare to him, neither in Torah nor in Yira. And he says follows. He says, you want to know what Yir Shemayim of the Yehuda was? He says, either he says, Shehigiyah le'yimei hazikno, until he became mamish, he says, in advanced old age, lo yishochav al hamito. Hear this, the Yehuda. Even at night when he slept, he did not rest on a bed, only his head. His head was on a pillow. The ruboy chutz lemito al gabi kisois, on chairs. If you, I guess it must have been part of his anhogif tanesim in segufim. The way he afflicted himself was he did not sleep in a bed. He had his head resting on a bed over pillows, and the rest of his body was stretched out, his legs were stretched out on a chair. Hachi higi alimei azikna. By the way, Nevi Yehuda was a very tall person. You can imagine how much was out of the bed. This is the Nevi Yehuda, he says. Then finally, which I will conclude with this piece, and he says, Me'erev Tisha B'Av ad Moitzoy Tisha B'Av. From Erev Tisha B'Av, he says, until Moitzoy Tisha B'Av, Lo'ipotzek Pumei Mikinet V'Yelolis, which means it's sometimes very long, you know, in Kinois, of course, when they take after Chatzois. Rabbi Yehuda did not stop saying Kinois until Motzei Tisha B'Av. He said Kinois from Erev Tisha B'Av, he said, Av Meitzoy Tisha B'Av, Voifosik Pumei Mikinois V'Yololois, V'Rav Echus, Voimis Oilo B'Yofor, he would wallow in the dust, V'Bchi V'Dimo, to the point that call me Shoholach Achayre Beis HaKnesses, that if anyone would walk, he says, behind the shul, Ochad besoroi pelotois lekoiloi hanishma beroma biyololo. The claw, the yololo, the wailing of the Nei Yehuda, saying the kinnah throughout Tisha B'Av could be heard outside of the shul. To the extent that someone would walk by, would become poshut, he says, Ochad besoroi pelotois, flesh would tremble from the hagoshe of the Nei Yehuda regarding Tisha B'Av. And so on, he goes on and on and on. This is not here to say hesped and Nei Yehuda. But to have an idea, the Hamulig Yidden, the Hagosha that they had for Tisha B'Av, the great tzaddikim. You can understand the great tzaddikim who had all the Ashpois, HaTor and Yiro, and yet they felt the void. They're still able to feel the void of the Beis Hamikdash, and they'd be able to express the great, tremendous, tremendous Tzar. So we have to realize, and we say to ourselves, And therefore, when we say to ourselves that when we say to our Rabbim, we realize how far we are from that Hanhoge. We realize how far we are from that Hanhoge. And when we see that Chazal gave us some guidelines of how to be able to express our tzar during the 3 weeks. The chitza is also, achilas bosa is also in the 9 days, and we find even that to be difficult. Refraining from a number of days, taking less showers, changing of clothing, and so on and so forth. We ask ourselves, we see from Chazal itself, you know, these restrictions that we do have, these restrictions that we do have concerning our tkufa, these restrictions that we do have, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, Daf Samach, from Reb Shmuel ben Elisha, the Yoim Shechora Beis HaMikdosh, Dinhu Shenigzor Al Atzmeinu, Shloin Noichal Bosav Nishte Yayin. Chazal say that appropriately, the Yoim Shechora Beis HaMikdosh would have been more appropriate that we never eat meat and never drink wine. That would have been the appropriate behavior. Why don't we have this takona, say Chazal, she'en goizrin tzeir ala tibur, and ken rei va tibur yecholim lamed bo? We are not going to exert our tzibur unless the tzibur can withstand it. We are too schwach, we are too weak to be able to be mekabel of such gezeiros. But to understand, to impress upon us the chaymer and the agosha that a yid should feel with churban beis hamikdash, the agosha that a yid would feel, we should have been goyz upon ourselves not to drink wine and not to eat bosa. And then as we ask ourselves the posh question, what happened? We see that we are on Golos for so many years. We see we are on Golos already for thousands and thousands of years. And how is it that we are able to be soibel, being in Golos for so many years? It is known that Yismach Moshe, who is a tremendous person who was always mekaveh and hoping and always, every time he heard it, there was a noise, a commotion, he thought, oh, these are the footsteps of Mashiach. He was living with Mashiach. Mashiach was alive, the whole concept of Mashiach. He was never Mashiach Das in the end of Mashiach. Nach Moshe once said, towards the end of his life, had he known that Mashiach would not come in his lifetime, he would not be able to be saved, could not tolerate it. The reason he was able to make it to the age that he made, because every day he said, this is the day that Mashiach is going to come. Had it been told in the Rosh, had it been told from the beginning that Mashiach would not come during his lifetime, would not be able to hold out. And yet, of course, we are so far, removed from this kind of a hargosha. But the emphasis, the klal is as follows. The klal is, the reason for all that is within ourselves is, klal Yisrael Abba Yisrael are very different than all other nations. All other nations were defined in Ummah. What defines a nation by all other nations is the land that they have. They have land, they have their country, that's what makes them a nation. That is the definition. They have a language, that's miyuchet to them. Once, if a nation is overpowered by another nation, and if people are driven out of the land, they're driven out of the country, and they are scattered, they cease to be a nation, they cease to be a people. A nation in exile is not a nation in exile. They lost the definition of being a nation. They are now just a bunch of a lot of people. Klal Yisrael is not defined as being a nation by no particular sprach. In most times, Yidden did not speak Lashon Kodesh. It's not because Klal Yisrael is connected to a land which is about as so choshev and everything and important. But Klal Yisrael is an Am Hashem based upon Torah and Mitzvahs. Rabbi Shalom Shmuel Paul Hirsch pointed out, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hayoyim Azeh Nihiyeh Soliyom. Hayoyim Azeh means the day that you were Mekabel the Torah, now you became a people. You're still in the Midbar. You had no land. You didn't have anything miyuchet for yourself to define you as a people. But Hayoyim Azeh Nihiyeh Soliyom, you became a people today. Because through Torah Mitzvahs we are the Am Hashem. It doesn't make a difference where we are, we still are the Am Hashem. Even if we are in Golos. Golos itself had different levels throughout the period of history. Even though we are an Am Hashem, but many periods in our Tzkufin history, we suffered a lot in Golos. Goyim made it very difficult for Yidden. Yidden did not have any rights. Yidden were confined to ghettos. Yidden in many areas were not allowed to conduct themselves the same type of businesses that Goyim. Government restricted Yidden to many, many different professions that they could not go into, simply because Yidden should not be able to compete with Goyim. It was only if they went far away from a particular city, Moshe in Warsaw, there was a gzera, that Yidden could not do particular businesses in Warsaw. But they had to be distanced a certain amount out of Warsaw and do businesses there in the fields and in the small villages surrounding Warsaw. And so in many, many other places, Yidden were restricted. That's why Yidden many times they were moneylenders. When lenders, because Goyim were restricted by their religion to lend money, Yidden received money from Goyim that the Yidden should be lending the Goyisha money, and they would give, of course, most of the profit would be going to the Goyim. And then the Yidden, of course, would have a small panos out of that as well. But we see always Yidden were money lenders, people with the Yidden get the money. That they were given money as shluchim from Goyim, who themselves are not allowed to deal with that. And this was one of the panoses that Yidden had. The Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throughout many, many tzkufas, and certainly in our tzkufa today, thought to it that our goal is, at least among Goyim, should be a little bit easier. And even Adoichi to enjoy full rights, even our citizenships, and in most places, sometimes physically we do not feel the goalless anymore. Physically we do not feel the goalless anymore. Even have opportunities like anybody else. Yidin HaMatzliach, Yidin HaPanosa, many Yidin HaHarchove, to the point that it said that one of the Yashirim, B'nai Yisrael, one of the Yashirim, he said we had a Goyish servant. The Goyim never really liked to work for Yidin, but they had no choice. There's a Yiddish Gevir, this Yiddish Yosher, who had a Goyish servant, was sitting at a Seder, sitting Becheiris with all his silver, all his Ashiris, sitting like a Melech, Haseba, showing off the Cheiris of what it means to be on a Leila Seder, besides with an Osher throughout the year anyway. And when he concludes the Seder, the Yid gives a Shrael, he says, Lishono Habobi Yerushalayim. Mamish. It's a tremendously, mentally strong coil. Lishono Habobi Yerushalayim. The gracious servant says, got scared, got frightened, got yelled it out. Lishono Habobi says, what's the commotion? He says, we Yidin today, he says, we are in Golis and we are hoping to be redeemed very, very soon to be able to go up there to soil. And the servant said, Halavai, I should be in Golis like you are. Golis, we don't feel the Golis today on a physical level in many, many instances, although there are stories still throughout the world. But certainly many Mekoimis, we are able to enjoy the Malchus Shel Chesed. But Iker Golis by Yid Raboisai is not the Gashmis. It's not the Gashmis. You can be as comfortable as you are in Golis, but nevertheless, our Golis is Golis HaShchina. We have lost our connection with the Shchina. As Chazal tell us, not only lost our connection with the Shchina, but in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is in Golis. To the point that the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Gimel, the Gemara says, that Sholish Mishmaris have a Lailo, there are three sections, the night is partitioned to three sections. Call Mishmar, Mishmar, Yoshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vishoye, Kari. And at every section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself roars like a lion and he cries out, Chenema, Hashem, Mimoroim, Yishag, Mimoroim, Kosha, Yiten, Koiloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wails, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries, Vishoye, Kari, Be'omer, Oile, Bonim. Because of the Averis, I burnt the Beis Hamikdash, I burnt the Heichel, the Glesim Leben Umas Oilam, and they were driven into the Umas Oilam. Three Mishmayras, the Kodesh Baruch Hu continuously is Boiche, the Shoyim Me'ari, the Shechina is in Golis. We are not in Golis physically sometimes, but our Golis is the Golis HaShechina. And it's not just our Golis HaShechina. Our Madregin Ruchinis has fallen tremendously. Today we don't even have to talk about it. But even the time of Chazal, the Gemara says in Soita Daf Mentes, Rabbi Lezer HaGodol Oimer, V'yoyim Shechor Beis HaMikdosh, Shoru Chakimayo Lemihevrikis Afrayo. The Talmid HaChomen became Malam De Tenoikis. That was a tremendous Yerida already the time of Chazal. What used to be Amol HaChomen, they used to be great people, great scholars. Chakimayo became Safrayo, they became Alamdi Tinoikis. It was a tremendous Yerida. When we had the Beis HaMikdosh through Kedushas HaMikdosh, we were Zoyche to all of the tremendous Hashpoyas, tremendous Kedusha. And even when they were Zoyche to go up three times a year to be Oile Regel, it was not Shat Raboisai visiting Eretz Yisrael. Three times a year being Oile Regel was not a visit. It was an opportunity to be shoyev, to be able to draw meloichef naim, pails and pails, measure upon measure of your shemayim. That's what he came away with, the tremendous Osiris, being able to serve Hashem from now on with Ibdus Hashem b'yiro. And we say that in the davening, we say the Sachzeno. One of the reasons the Sachzeno einenu b'shuv cholesim b'rachmim. Why do we want? Why are we so hoping to be able to see Tzion again? Because Shom Nabotcha B'Yiro, which means today we don't have the opportunity to really be an Oved Hashem B'Yiro to the Madregas that we are capable of. And as Yiduah the Tanya once said, when we say the davening, it's brought down the Ferish and the Siddur of the Tanya. We say, V'ein Anachnu Yecholim, that being we have no Beis Hamikdash today, we are not able, Lalois V'Leirois, we cannot go up and visit and see. So the Tanya has to push the Kasha. It's true we are not able to be oiled to the Mokem HaMikdosh. But why are we not able to be Mishtach V'Lefanecho? Every day, in Moedim we bow down. In Oleinu we say, Vanachnu Koirim, Umishtachvim, Umoedim. We do bow down today as well. And the Tanya points out and says, bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not mean bending your knees. That's just the Chitzonius, the Gehishtachvor. Bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Bittul Atzmiyus, that we are ready to be Mevatel our whole Metzius. The definition of Hishtachvor, prostration, meant it was not just a practice, it was not a show of sorts. Hishtachvor was an expression of total Bittul, total subordination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is Kareya Mishtarvit to a Melech, what does that mean? It means that he's Mevatel himself klapa the Melech. Memela says the Tanya Veina Nachni Yechoel Mishtarvit of Adepo. What it means is that today that we don't have the Ashroyas Ashkina, we don't have the Bokeh Mamigdosh, we are not able to totally be Mevatel ourselves to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, we can go through the motions, we can bend down. That we are not able to do. The Penimius is lacking. Hishtachvah is not meant to be b'chitzonius. Hishtachvah is meant the pnimius that we give our Shem, our whole pnimius, our whole metzius. That is something that we cannot do today. We do not have. And therefore, when Yirmi Anovi says, "V'mistorim tivkei nafshi," HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I cry in my hidden chambers." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the Torahs of Churim Beis Hamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, "I cry b'mistorim." I cry in my hidden chambers, Mipnei Geva. What does Geva mean? Lashon Geva, says the Gemara, Omer Rav Shmuel, Bar Inyo, Mishmei Derav, Mokoim Yeshva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a private place called Mistorim. And he cries there, Mipnei Geva, my Mipnei Geva, Mipnei Gavotzon Shel Yisrael, Shenitlo Mehem, because the glory of Klal Yisrael was taken away from them, the Nitno Loiv de Kechovim was given to the Goyim. But I think there's another kavona. Mokoyim yesh laKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a place that is called Mistorim. You know what it means? Every Yid is zoichet to Ashrayis Hashchina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests in the heart of every Yid. Mokoyim yesh laKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a hidden place. You know what that mokim is? That mokim is b'mistorim, in the hidden, in the lev of the Yid. If the lev of the Yid opens up and is ready to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be. What happened after Churim Beis HaMikdash, the heart of the Yid became parshtopped. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now finds himself abandoned. He no longer sees himself able to reside in the hearts of the Yid. But in Shtukan hearts, we don't have the Varmkeit of hearts. Our Penimius has been dulled. Our Pnimius has been ruined. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries for that relationship that he had with the Yid, of being able to reside in the hidden recesses of the Yid. The Mistorim Tivkei Nafshi, I'm crying because of the Mistorim. To fail the Pnimius, the hidden part, that's the Mistorim. On the outside, yes, Rabbi Isai. On the outside, we are just like our Ovis. We put on film just like they do. We wear tzitzis like that they do. We go to the motions of doing B'derech Klal, we do all the mitzvahs like they do. Where's the chilik? The Nistorim, in hearts, and the Pnimius, that's where it distinguishes ourselves. Today, being that we have no Beis Hamikdash, the Nistorim Tizkei Nafshi, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about. Because the Lev, which is the Mokim Seser, Mipnei Gavoson Shel Yisrael, we unfortunately don't have the shiflis that we should have before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about. So if we want to describe our matzis, let's look at the Dalet Minin. Dalet Minin, we take, of course, the Estrik, we take the Arovis, we take the Hadassin. And Chazal tell us, of course, the Estrik is supposed to be the most beautiful of all the Dalet Minin. Klal Yisrael is compared to four factions, Keneged the Dalet Minin. There are four levels in Klal Yisrael. Estrig, Ma, Estrig, Yesh, B'Tam, B'Reach, Kach Yisrael, Yesh, B'Tam, B'Reach. There are Yidin who have Tam, B'Reach, they have Torah, they have Maisim, Toivim. You have Yidin that are like the Hadassim. Like the Hadassim has Reach, has no Tam. That they may have Maisim, Toivim, they don't have Torah. But you have some Yidin are like the Arova. Arve, Nachal, the Arova, the willow is Ma, Arova, Zu, Ein, B'Tam, Ein, B'Reach. Kachem, Yisrael, there are Yidin, She'em Behem, Loi Torah, V'Loi Maisim Tovim. In other words, Arava Rabbeisai depicts the lowest matzav of the Yid. Arava depicts the lowest matzav of the Yid. It's a matzav of Ein Bo Taam Ve'Ein Bo Reach. So I think that this might be what David HaMelech might be alluding to. He says, on Aharo is Bovel, he says, Shom Yoshavnu Gam Bochinu B'Zachreinu Etziyot. It's a cheetah. We don't have to be told. During the Tkufis, when Yidin were murdered, when Yidin were robbed, when Yidin were pillaged, when Yidin starved, when Yidin died of thirst, it's Pashit we cried then. That's no Kiddush. So the Melech wants to tell us the Agosh of Golas that Yidin used to have. He says, Al Naharos Bovel, he says, comes over to Melech, that on the rivers of Bovel, Shom Yashavnu, that even years later when we settled already, there came a time where Yidin already made Sholem, so to speak, with the Matzis. They already settled. That's the Shom Yashavnu. Years later, when after the Golas, when they no longer really were lacking anything Gashmiyadik, they became citizens like anybody else. Shom Yashavnu, we sat there and we settled there. But Gam Bochinu, we also still cried then. That's what the Gam is saying. The Gam Bochinu means even after the Yashavnu. Yinwan Amadregit, understand, Golas has nothing to do whether you are physically uncomfortable. Golas means lacking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lacking Beit HaMikdash. Golas Hashchino. So Nahara is Bovel Shom Yashavnu, even after we already settled, we were Miyushiv. But Gam Bochinu, why B'Zachreinu Etzion? Because, not because of our physical lacking, our physical constraints. B'Zachreinu Etzion, because we remember Tzion, remember Yerushalayim. We realize that the Kedushas HaMikdash is lacking. And he continues, Al Aravim B'Seicha Tolinu Kinoi Reisenu. The reason we are not able to sing with our musical instruments, Al Aravim, we have spiritually fallen and diminished like the Arava. Like the Arava Ma, Arava Zu, like this Arava is Eimboi, Leitam, Leireach. We have so become spiritually diminished, so spiritually fallen. The Goyim don't understand that. The Goyim see that Yidin are comfortable in Golus. So they say to the Yidin, he says, why don't you sing? Shom She'eluni Shoiveinu, our captors are saying, Divrei Shir, why don't you sing? We have made you equal citizens. You have full rights like anybody else. You're not uncomfortable here in Golus. You are successful here in Golus. You have made it here. But a Goy doesn't understand what Golus means by Yid. So we say, Eich noshir ashir Hashem al admas necha. As comfortable be as we can find ourselves in Golus, we are not able to sing. We are not able to sing. We are in chutz laretz. In hador b'chutz laretz doim k'mishein le'eleka. We don't have the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that we are capable of having. We have had it. And that is something that we have lost. So now Rabbi Yisai is, we are ready to start and to say the kinois. Let me just explain what is pointed out by this Fasemis. Fasemis says, and he says it in the Yonim of Pesach, he says in Shnas Tov Reish Mem Zayin, 1887. Fasemis says, when the Pesach says in Tehillim, Kapitel Mem, the Pesach says, or Amela says, V'tashkeimoi b'dmo'oi sholosh, we made them drink the water of their tears. V'tashkeimoi b'dmo'oi sholosh, we made them drink the water of their tears. Says Fasemis a dover niflamoid, mamish ulamole, Fasemis wouldn't say it, who can say this? Fasemis says, you know what it means? Vitashkemoi bidmoy sholish. Sholish, he says, you know, demoy sholish always means excessive tears, a lot of tears. Demoy sholish, a lot of tears. Sholish says that Fasemis reminds us, he teaches the sholish regolin. When we had the Beis Hamikdash, we had the opportunity to be able to absorb the Kedushas HaMikdash by going up to Yerushalayim. We don't have it today. But we have a substitute. Amazing words of Sasemis. How are we able to enjoy today the Ashpar, the Beit HaMikdash? If you cry for it. If a Yid cries for the Beit HaMikdash today, he makes the spiritual connection through tears, that which we had when we had an actual Beit HaMikdash. And Sasemis teaches the words like this, amazingly, v'tashkemoi v'dmois. You know what he's drinking with his tears? Sholish, the sholish regolim he's drinking. When you cry for the Beis HaMikdash, you're not drinking tears what you're doing and accomplishing with your tears, v'tashkemoi v'demois, kama, sholish. You're achieving the connection to the sholish regolim. When yin were able to be masik, when yin were able to reach bishat when they were oil and regal to the Beis HaMikdash, we are able to be masik today through the bechi on the churban Beis HaMikdash. And as Hashem says in Yonim of Chanukah, I'll quote you the Lashon because it's an unbelievable Lashon. As Hashem says, Kol ma shehoyu masigim od al yidei asimcho mecholois, whatever they used to be able to be masik through the simcha and through the dancing, zoichin ato al yidei hu aveilus al churban Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem tells us if you want to tap in to the Kedushas HaMikdash is through our tears, the more that we are connected. Because tears are the pshat, when you're able to cry to the Beis HaMikdash, that tells you you are connected. And when you are connected to the Beis HaMikdash, you are able to draw from the Beis HaMikdash by being connected, by virtually being connected. That connection is made by our tears. And the same hasogit that we're able to be masik in Kedusha, through dancing and singing. In yesteryear, Hashem says, we are able to be zoyche atot today al yidei hu avelis. And he says a beautiful pshat in Eicha. Simple taich nehepach le'evel mecholenu. Our dancing has been turned into mourning. Hashem says nehepach le'evel mecholenu. What we're able to achieve with dancing, we now achieve with avelus. Nehepach le'evel mecholenu. What you used to achieve the simcha by being able to rejoice, to bask in the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, we are able to enjoy that today. This is the koyach of the Avelus. This is not just mourning the past, but this allows us to reconnect. This allows us really, really to reconnect with the Beis HaMikdash today. And therefore, our Eitzah is, Rabbeisai, not to miss the opportunity. Not to miss the opportunity. The fact is, throughout history, if you go into Jewish history, it is replete with missed opportunities. And because of those missed opportunities, our history was reshaped and permanently altered. Destiny of our people to suffer till Mashiach comes, simply because of missed opportunity. And let me conclude and give you just one example today, one example which is noyik today of a possible missed opportunity that took place. And this, you can use the lashon, a painful medrash. A painful medrash tells us that when the Nebuchadnezzar, after the army was destroyed, after his army destroyed and laid waste to the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he instructs his general to lead Klal Yisrael into exile. But you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he isn't a goy. Listen to a goy. Nebuchadnezzar, when he exiled Klal Yisrael into Golus, he gave instructions to his general. A specific request. What kind of request? They already destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He's exiling the Bnei Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar gives instruction to his general, says the Medrash. What is the instructions? He says that until the Bnei Yisrael cross the Euphrates into Babel, until Bnei Yisrael cross the river, they should not be allowed to rest. Why not? Don't let them rest. Until they cross the river, don't let them rest. Why? Because if they would be given time to rest, they would have time to weep, and they'd be able to be mispalel Kodesh Baruch Hu, which could foil his attempt to exile them. A goy has given to Koyach HaTfilah of Yidden. Nebuchadnezzar understood what we Yidden don't understand. Nebuchadnezzar gave instructions to his generals not to allow Yidden to rest until they crossed the river. Because if they would be allowed to the Medrash, he understood that they'd be allowed to rest, then they would be able to weep and be mispalel, and that koyach hatfilah and that koyach habechiyah would foil and ruin all his plans. So in order to be meinei klal Yisrael, from being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave instructions to his generals not to allow the Yidden to rest until they crossed the river. Says the Medrash, now listen to this, continue the Medrash, that after crossing the river, the Yidden were given the opportunity to rest, and that's where on the highway is Bavel Shom Yashavnu, after we crossed, they sat and they wept. Guess what happened after that? comes Yirmiyah Novi. Comes Yirmiyah Novi and says to the Eden. And it's an amazing phrase that Yirmiyah says. And Yirmiyah says, you may not believe me. Yirmiyah says that. You may not believe me what I'm going to tell you. He says it to the Eden. But in order to impress upon you that what I'm saying is true, because it's so unbelievable what I want to tell you, Yirmiyah Novi says, I will bring you Edus, heaven and earth. I will bring you Edus, heaven and earth, to testify that had you shed but one tear while you were still in Eretz Yisrael, you would not have been exiled. One tear, Rabbi Yisrael, missed opportunity. Yet, Sivayin and Nishinab is a little too late after they were exiled. A little too late. Now we have to suffer the consequences. Missed opportunity. What a missed opportunity. Had they cried one day earlier, had they cried just one day earlier, our entire history, look what it would mean. Had they cried one day earlier because of one day, our entire history that filled oceans with blood of our people would have been different. And this, Rabbi Isai, many, many such opportunities come across our path over and over again. This is what we have to do. This is the objective of the kinois, the shortcut of Baruch Hu, the pain that we feel. This makes the connection, the spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he writes in that our kinois should be idle in the maloth. It should be the final time that Klal Yisrael ever should have the need to say kinois, to experience any tar bechlal. And this should be ma'orer, the Isairis of Biyat Mashiach Tzidkenu, the shining of all of the Ashpoyis and all of the Prams and Nviyim of Biyat Goyal Tzedek. Let me just point out, Rabbi Isai, we begin now with the kinois, that the Munkah Charov brings down in a Mokim, in a Sefer called Nimukah Rechayim. Many, many times we say to ourselves, you know, the kinois, now how important is it really that we say the kinois? And not all that important how many kinois you say, but that which we say, it should be meaningful to us. He brings out that he heard from his Rebbe, the Shinya Beruv. The Shinya Beruv was the son of the Sanderuv. The Shinya Beruv said as follows. I have to read you the Loshin because it's a frightening Loshin. So brings down the Minchas Aluza, the Munkah Charov. The Shemati, he says, Ma'admor HaKodesh Rabbeinu Yecheskel Mishinyavet, Bechusa Yogin Aleinu. He said, the Shinya Beruv said, Al Ir Achaz Gidoyle, on a particular big city. This big city, by the way, if you ever went to visit that big city, you would not find old people there. Only young people. You know why? Because people died young. Shomati, I heard Rabbeinu Yecheskel Mishinyavet, Kilikach Lenimtsubo Machenu Bnei Yisrael Zekenin. He says, La'achsher Yechsiru Shom HaChasidim Rishoinim. He said they were machaset to say various piyutim. The nimtzah b'sefer chasidim ki hamishane u'machse piyutim b'tzibur u'goyrem ro rachmona l'tzlon b'oinshim v'kitzur yomim. So of course every kila has their own minhagim. That's what a kila should follow. To understand what it means. The minhagim that we have in saying the kin is that we do it. And Yedua, the Bach himself, writes it, the great Bach. Now we're talking halacha mamish. And the Bach taka writes, the Yomov, by the way, the Be'er Hetet brings it also, Mishabura, the Be'er Hetet brings it in Arachayim. Shebe Yomov, Hischil Godel Echod Levatel Krevitz. The time of the Bach, a particular Godel, started to be Mavatel saying a Krevitz. The Nenash Velehoitzi Shinosoi. Okay, now Kaponim, it is therefore the Nenash was the Kenim of Logim. Yishlaim, a few years ago, of course, Yishlaim underwent a number of Rabbonim leading the Eid Achredis. The Badat in Yerushalayim, of course, you had Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, you had Rav Pashinsky, and so on and so forth. You had the Sat Meruv, Zechron Lebrocha. And also, you had, there was the Yid of Choshi, whose name is Rav Moshe Ari Efrain. Moshe Ari Efrain, who was the Rabbi Yerushalayim of the Eid Achredis. He was the Ninekel of the Nasa Deruv. Nasa Deruv was known in Europe before the war to be a Ish Moifes. People would come to him from all over for brochas. And he said he heard from his Zayded, the Zayded Gezug, the Nasa Deruv said, he became a Rav in a place called Ronge. And he said he stopped saying Yoitzris. The minig there in that kila was to say Yoitzris. He became the Rav, so he changed the minig. They used to say Yoitzris, all kinds of Yoitzris. He opened up a mavzer. Some say yoytzes only by chazaras hashatz. Some say yoytzes by the birchas krishma. By the birchas krishma, you say yoytzes. He was mevatel. He says he lost a daughter to Dekis. Her name was Chana Malke. And all his life he attributed that the reason was that he was nenash ben shemayim is because he was mevatel the minig hamokim of saying the yoytzes. And as soon as that tragedy happened, he reinstated it backwards. Most of the Piyutim are said here by Reb Lozer HaKalir. Very many of them. One of the greatest Paitonim of all time. Reb Lozer HaKalir, of course, according to many opinions, was even a Tane. But I'm just going to tell you one Nakuda. I'm going to tell you that over 500 years ago, one of the Meforshei HaPiyutim, over 500 years ago, writes on Reb Lozer HaKalir, over 500 years ago, and he said the following lashon, an amazing lashon. I mean, by us, of course, you think about something that deserves to be called a Sefer Kodesh, you think about the Zohar HaKodesh. Zohar HaKodesh. What can be holier than a Zohar HaKodesh? No? So he writes, more than 500 years ago, one of the Meforshim of the Piyutim, he says, Reisi Divrei Rashbi, I saw the words of Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. He says, and his people, Zohar is something that shines, radiates. But the Zohar shines like the Zohar HaRakia. The Zohar shines like the Zohar HaRakia, like the brightness of the sky. Aval divrei ha-godol rebelozer ha-kalir piyutov mazhirim kashemesh elyon. Like the sun. He even gives it greater. 500 years ago. To understand the cheshivus of the piyutim of rebelozer ha-kalir, if the Zohar is choshiv to you, the Zohar, he says, shines like the Zohar HaRakia. But the piyutim of Reb Lozer HaKalir shine like the Zohar HaShemesh. Do you know why? Because you know where his inspiration came from? Writes this Mefarish. He says, because Hister HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid all of the secrets, Al Yedei Reb Lozer HaKaliri B'Krei Voisov, and put it into his piyutim. Therefore they are called Krei Vois. Not to crave it, some say crave it. It is also called Krei Vois. You know why the Piyutim are called Kreivois? They are called Kreivois because they are Oile who Kreivim Heim to Amelech Malcham Lochem Hayoshev Al Kisei Moroim. So that gives us a little bit of an idea of the Cheshivas of the Kinnus that Rabbi Yisrael that we are saying. So let's take a look, Rabbi Yisrael, at the first Kinnus. Just first of all, Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look. And just again, just as we always start, first Kinnus, again, Rabbi Lozer HaKalir, the first Kinnus, Shova Suri Meni. The kinnah, which expresses the churban, the tragedy of the churban, that begins back with the word shabbas. It begins with the word shabbas, which basically means, which is a word unto itself, it's a sentence unto itself. It tells us the shabbas, it means that everything stopped, that everything basically came to a standstill. The glorious world that once existed before the churban, it all ended. Shabbas. And suru meni shimuni oivrai, get away from me or turn away from me, shimuni oivrai, those who pass by, whenever a goy would pass by, he'd say, get away from me. Get away from me. In other words, we're close. There used to be a pride in the world. The experience of Golas is that the goyim looked us down. Chiyu mo'ois be'ed, hesimuni be'edre chaveirai. They considered me like filth and dirt among the nations of the world. So what we have over here is the feeling, the feeling that Klal Yisrael was margish, the feeling that Klal Yisrael is going through. And Shabbat means also it is a shock. Many, many times, Rabbi Yisrael, a person, Cholila Bechas, people expect a disaster to happen. People expect the most of disaster to happen. Sometimes they expect it intuitively. Sometimes they expect a disaster to happen. It's intellectually. Sometimes it's logically. They realize something's going to happen. When it happens, it's something that's expected. It's not something that's new. But sometimes you have a disaster. Disaster that pushes it to strike suddenly. And the sudden disaster is worse than a disaster that is something that's anticipated. So the word Shabbat basically means it happened instantly. It reminds us of Bayoyim Ashvi Shabbat Vayinofash. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know Shabbat Vayinofash means, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested, it meant to say that the resting happened in 1 second. You know what it means? It means during the first half of second, means the first half of second, there was work. The second half of the second, it was so suddenly, because Baruch is so precise. The Yom HaShvi Shabbat Vainopash. The Shabbat came mamish, exacting, on the moment. The first half of second was still work. The second half of second came the Inyan of Shvisa. That is the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hur Beit HaMikdash was like Shabbat. It came to a point where all of a sudden everything came to a standstill. And that's basically what the Pitan is trying to impress upon us. So we begin the Kina Shabbat to the man.